Hi, it's really a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be with all the wise women that have been here speaking and all the wise people in the audience, too. I know that without you, it would be hard for us to be here. So I want to give my thanks to Jen. Where are you, Jen? Anyway, I don't see you. Are you? Is she here? No? Stepped out. For creating a gift-giving space. It's a sacred space. And I want to give thanks to all the relatives of this region that are supporting us. And to the amazing rainbow that appeared yesterday in the sky. Did anybody see that? Yeah, I felt that was a blessing. Rainbows are considered blessings, and it really felt like that to me. And also, I want to give thanks to the ancestors that are hanging on the wall behind us here. I don't know the names of all of them. Maybe some of you do here. The double goddess from Turkey, Neolithic double goddess in the corner here, Bronze Age. Thank you. This is a medieval world goddess figure here. This is perhaps Pachamama. And Peruvian. This is Kuan Yin. Coatlicue. Tara. Hygieia. Probably Colombian, a Colombian mother and child, and Kali. So I have a surprise for you that's not on the in the program. I want to introduce my daughters before I give my presentation to you. I want to introduce my daughters for something a little bit different. So are you going to come up? They have gifts for you. They are my gifts, and they have gifts for you. It says Larissa and Selena.
Hello, is this on? Okay, good. Hi, it's really inspirational and amazing to be here. I just wanted to thank Jen and all the amazing women who've spoken and helped put this conference on. My name's Larissa Morningstar. This is my sister.
My name is Selena Gentle Rain,
and we represent a women's poetry, activist, art, and music collective called the Goddess Alchemy Project. So
I just want to thank Jen again also for your incredible generosity and actually really practicing the theory that you've come up with, which is totally brilliant. And all you women are incredibly brilliant. Everyone that has spoken has totally blown me away. So thank you. It's truly an honor to be here. And I also, Jen, thank you. Where are you, Jen?
She's...
Oh, thank you so much for supporting our mom. it's really amazing. And believe it or not, it's hard to find support when you do work like her. So. Well, I'm sure you all know. But, yeah, we're going to share something a little different with you. So here it goes.
This is a song that I wrote entitled Woman Nation. I'm going to do a little prelude with some definitions in it so you kind of get a feel for what I'm trying to say. A new definition of procreation, not population, but mind elation. Across the nation, it's worldwide. No place to hide, just coincide. Procreation of the mind, you see, is the elevating kind to me. It's time to shift the paradigm rift. No time to crawl. We have to climb. No time for reason. We have to rhyme. Rhyme against the patriarchal paradigm. Rhyme against the patriarchal paradigm. It's time for this rhyme. It's my rhyme against the patriarchal paradigm. R-A-Y-M-E. P.P., this is my rap. What do you think of that? This is my rap. I said, what do you think of that? It's my rhyme against the patriarchal paradigm. One last time, sing it with me. It's my rhyme against the patriarchal paradigm. Rhyme against the patriarchal paradigm. Rhyme against the patriarchal paradigm. It's time for resistance, insistence, persistence now. It's time for resistance, persistence, insistence now. Because Homo sapiens are endangered species. Destroying Mother Earth tried to make the ends meet. With malicious intent, we strike upon the earth. Ignorance and hate is stunting her birth. Where the rich meets, where the rich meets the poor is a thin walled door. We must get to the core and stop the erosion. Do something now to prevent the explosion. Listen up now, cause it's too late for later. Give it up now for the woman creator. Woman nation, every day is a tribulation. Mind elation can fix this equation. It's time for erasing our inner conditioning. Don't let persuasion block out your listening. Glistening like the sands of time. Listen up now to the reason of this rhyme. When you act, you must think of seven generation. Every step you must take, think of all of creation. Elation, relax, regroup, deep breath. It's time to teach the truth. We need proof of the truth. It's all too dilute. Sugar-coated, loaded, these lies have exploded like the Big Bang Theory. The children's eyes are teary. The skies are all dreary. We're getting kind of weary. Hear me. Hear the beat of the earth. Feel this. Feel the cool of the dirt on my feet. Heartbeat is under you. Listen to me now. You think, what can I do? Feel it. Surrounding all of you, let the love shower unite for one truth. Woman nation, every day is a tribulation. Mind elation can fix this equation. Because the perception of women in society is a real harsh reality. It's a completely and entirely a battle, a struggle, a tug of war. You think we could be cured of this disease? Women and children are like the trees, the roots of life and the utter foundation. Harmonic balance of procreation. Woman nation, every day is a tribulation. Mind elation can fix this equation. Why do women got to have it the hard way? Work twice as hard for half of the pay, hey. Climbing the ladder, one rung at a time. Constantly shoved down and cut in line. It's time we go back to our roots right now. Time to fill the old boots. A single footprint left in the sand can be wiped away with the wave of a hand. Yet set in concrete, our steadfast feet will always defeat till our mission is complete. Woman nation, one love is one nation. Mind elation has solved this equation, yeah. Solved this equation, yeah. Solved this equation, yeah.
So I'm going to share some spoken word with you. It's a little bit different style, but this is called Beyond History. This rhyme is but a glimpse into the medicine of our time. An unspoken truth about the subordination and desecration of the divine feminine mother. A disease leaving us poisoned and smothered. So let us offer up this prayer to our sisters and our brothers. And let's take it back, beyond history. Before the gory glory of a violent humanity, starvation and insanity, let's start telling her story. Uncover the story of big-bellied huntress, gathering low brush and berries, counting moons phase by phase, recounting goddess grace phrase by phrase, when in circles we pulled the light of sun into our fires. Round council of grandmothers we listened to stories of wisdom, witness the transmutation of pain into action, finding better ways through compassion, looking at our reflections and laughing at the lessons learned through sacred guidance of grandmothers. We fed the belly of our village, dug the clay of earth to build the oven to bake the bread that we still eat. Oh, great mystery, we bore children from our wombs engineered the loom to weave human family with earth. We painted cave walls with memories of our birth, archives of our stolen story, documents untaught, untold, buried to keep us locked and sold into this patriarchal paradigm of warring nations, trapped in the illusions of separations, extermination mistaken for consecration. This era of violence was not prescribed to us by our Creator, yet we subscribe to it when we accept it as a pattern of human nature. We have no time to cast blame, and none to cast shame, only to reclaim our power from this borrowed hour. Breath by breath, we unveil our herstory as a time when blessed was the blood of woman, cherished were her children, bore into the hands of mothers, enchanted were the eyes of fathers, grateful were the hearts of humans. Graceful generations of treasured partnerships, times when men and women looked into each other's eyes and recognized uncompromised divinity, times when sisters, daughters, and mothers were not in competition, but rather were midwifing the fruition of family. Do you remember your mother? Or is she locked in the shadows of the mind like Isis trapped in a Masonic temple? It's not so simple. Or is this why we forget ourselves, forget our breath, forget the beauty of death? Because Dark Mother is rising from the depths, from the trenches of the sea, so let us all open our hearts to this truth and this harmony. And let's take it back beyond history, before the gory glory of a violent humanity, starvation and insanity. Let's start telling her story, because this rhyme is but a glimpse into the medicine of our time. An unspoken truth about the subordination and desecration of the divine feminine mother. A disease leaving us poison and smother. So let us offer up this prayer to our sisters and our brothers.
Hear me? Okay. We got one more for you.
This one is powerful. It's an invocation to the goddess Oya, the Yoruban goddess Oya. Yeah! And Oya is the goddess of great, great change and sacred regeneration and lightning, like lightning change.
Storm.
Storm energy, and we all know we need that kind of change. So this goes out to Oya. Oya de, oya de, oya de leyo. 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 Oya de, oya de, oya de leyo.
Oh, oh yeah. Oh, oh, oh yeah. MC Dakini is da aki. And if you wanna hear real rhyme, escucha me. I'll take you to another time, venga me. I'll let your mind unwind, wait and see. Some may think that there's got to be a difference between dreams and reality, but I do see through this falsity that we gotta keep dancing
in the waking dream.
In the dancing dream, in the waking dream. Time to permeate the mainstream unconscious beings. Wipe your slate clean. Today's a new day, and yesterday is gone. Freedom will rise like the morning sun, for in the sun we are one.
Brap up in the sun.
In the sun we are one.
Brap up in the sun.
For the forces of Allegra are out tonight. Set a spell in motion to transform it right. And if you need a little help, just invoke the Dakini. One who infuses the spirit within me. Sexuality, sacred in the soul. Feel it in your heart, cause you gotta let it go with the
Oya de, Oya de, Oya de Leyo. 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 feel the warm breath of this zucchini. Step into my realm and you're bound to be free like your curiosity. I see the glow of your immortal illuminated soul. Whisper in your ear that it's time to let go. Softly in your ear to dissolve your control. Surrender to the flow of Oya, mother of form, mother of storm, mother of sacred regeneration. Constantly shaping our nation. Consecration, breaking the spells like swells of a tsunami. Bring it on me. Your skin is ready and porous. So listen to this verse and chorus. Let it penetrate, let it permeate. Never hesitate to celebrate. This zucchini's wrath. Take a bath
in this lyrical.
Take a bath in this wrath.
Take a bath in
singing
this
Oya Day, Oya Day, Oya Day Leo. 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 Oya Day, Oya Day, Oya Day Leo.
Okay, that's my talk. No. I thought they would be a hard act to follow, though. I was inspired by Elizabeth's talk, as I'm sure we all were, and it made me think about this new theory that I've just heard about. I don't know much about it. I'm very excited about it. It's called the Mother Universe Theory, and it is about, they're saying that there is... I don't have to go like this, right? Okay. They're saying that the universe always has been, and it's like a mother who gives birth to daughter universes eternally. So in thinking about reclaiming our wisdom, our deep, profound women's wisdom, and changing the paradigm, I have wanted to call the universe the Yoniverse. and I have learned that Yuni is a cognate of Yoni. So this is the Mandelbrot fractal geometric equation. And this has a womb shape in it that was noticed by my friend Marguerite Rigoglioso, who is here. This is actually her slide. So what I'd like to do is just ask you all to stand for a moment, if you would, please. So I'd like to borrow something from Karine from Finland. I was inspired by something that she spoke about. So I'd like to ask the women to take that posture that she spoke about, of the goddess that she spoke about, who blesses with this posture. And it's a shamanic practice to take postures to alter your energy, to become empowered. So I would like to just ask you to take this and posture. And the men, this is a woman's posture. So the men, I thought, well, you could observe and you could stand in this posture if you like. And what you could do is really get in touch with where you come from. So I would also like to ask you now to just begin to make a sound that just wants to come through you. It's called toning, and to just let it come. And we'll just do it together. Thank you. just for a moment, just breathe in the nourishment. Just breathe it in. I consider that sound to be the verse of the yoni. So, thank you. This is the female hormone, and at the top, you you can almost see it. It's yoni shaped. So I'm introducing my talk with focusing on the yoni, the gateway of life and death. This is a ray of sun lighting a yoni shape on a dolmen of Croucanot near Carnac, France, at autumnal equinox. Midwifing death and the gift-giving paradigm. When I think of the sacred earth mother and the sacred dark mother of the great yoni verse or song of the sacred gateway of all life, death, and regeneration, I feel a deep, expansive stillness wrapping around me like a warm, velvety blanket woven with the wisdom threads of the ancient wise grandmothers who have gone before me. The really ancient ones, the ones reaching out across the timeless expanse of this stillness, piercing my heart, beckoning me to wake up to my whole holiness as a woman, made in the image of the Mother Goddess herself. I see before me the dancing primal mothers of Africa, whose legacy of love, justice with compassion, and equality, profoundly affirmed by the work of cultural historian Lucia Chiavola Birnbaum, who is here, remains encoded in our mitochondrial DNA. Opened up by the love of the ancestral grandmothers, I feel the deepest sense of mystery and magic holding my being, and I feel the sacred truth that we are all born of the Great Mother. I feel this has always been true and always will be, even though the current twisted male-dominant paradigm would have us deny our beginningless beginnings. This paradigm, the mindset of which I have termed the patriarchal mindset, or PMS. Is there someone who doesn't understand that? Okay. Has claimed all of women's sacred blood mysteries as its own, tricking itself into believing that men give birth to women from their ribs, and gods give birth from their thighs and foreheads. The patriarchal mindset, or PMS, has broken the sacred hoop of life and forced it into a straight line, with no connection between beginnings and endings. This PMS has also co-opted the mystery of death. 10 minutes, my goodness. Disconnecting it from life and rendering it an enemy. The sacred regenerative cauldron womb of the Norse goddess Hel was corrupted by patriarchal Christianity into hell, a frightening place, of eternal burning and damnation. Her sacred dark was demonized. And I really think it's important to reclaim the dark. The sacred dark, the dark mother, is, we have a tendency in this patriarchal conditioning to pitch dark against light. And light is good and dark is bad. All the bad stuff happens in the dark, that kind of thing. If we think about it, we think that the dark earth holds the seed to sprout. If the seed is given to the light too soon, it will die. Medusa, sacred snake-haired crone hag, meaning holy, was beheaded, an act considered by the PMS to be heroic, in order that men might conquer death and become immortal. Conditioned by such painful distortions, we of Western civilization suffer from a deep-seated fear of death, the mother, women, menstrual blood, birth, and life. Oh, my goddess, we are in trouble. We have all but lost women's ways of knowing. However, our truth cannot be destroyed and remains embedded in our cellular memory, now giving rise to a worldwide collective remembrance as women gather to share and support one another in our awakening, as we are doing here and now. As one who has been working on reclaiming women's mysteries and magic for many years, I have felt called to find this hidden knowledge about every possible aspect of life I am capable of uncovering and understanding. Genevieve Vaughn has defined for us the basis of community, that of gift-giving and sharing, as she reminds us that muni is Latin for gift. In applying this creative, wise female vision to death and dying, I have come to see that death does not have to be traumatic. Does not have to be the traumatic, life-denying event we are told it is. Death can be a peaceful passage into the next world, the swinging door back through the yoni gate of mystery. I have had the honor and privilege to midwife beings in their dying, animals and humans alike. What stands out for me the most is that when beings feel safe, the process of dying can unfold organically, peacefully, and beautifully. My mother's death was such an event. Like so many women, she was a survivor, which was a hard road for her because of her legacy she inherited from her mother, who had been institutionalized at the beginning of the 20th century. Like so many, many women, when it took only one signature to claim a woman insane, usually done so by a male family member or male physician. My mother's mother was a brilliant woman, enormously talented and creative, who suicided at the age of 54. My mother had heard for many years that her mother said it was a man's world. I am sorry for my grandmother's pain and for not having the opportunity to know her. I stand now as the lineage holder of my mother line, saying no to further oppression and violence towards women. I know both my mother and grandmother are proud of me as I carry on with their vision. My mother, an only child, was the daughter of her mother's pain. With that legacy, she grew up afraid and angry. Who wouldn't have? She was also creative, talented, brilliant, and innovative. I decided a long time ago that I would help my parents die and not place them in a home if I could help it. While they both did have to spend some time in a convalescent hospital, I was committed to being there for them, to aid their passages, and to provide an alternative to an uncared-for ending of their lives. So I brought my mother home to die. Her full story is in my forthcoming book, Midwifing Death, Returning to the Arms of the Ancient Mother. So I will only briefly share it here. She spent 3 days with us before passing, and I watched her change from frightened and anxious, what they call end-stage anxiety, to open, peaceful, and surrendered without the aid of morphine. I treated her like an honored guest in my home, creating an environment of peacefulness, beauty, and love for her. I transformed her room into what I call a beauty field, with flowers and candles, low light, and soft music. I often sat quietly with her, holding her hand, gently coaching her to let go, and giving her permission to die, letting her know that we, her children, would be okay. As I cared for her in this loving way, the same way a mother would care for her child, I witnessed the armor she spent a lifetime acquiring simply fall away, and her anger and rage melt into a deep, peaceful surrender without fear. During the last moments of her life, I spoke gently into her ear, as it is said that the hearing is the last sense to leave, and guided her into the loving arms of the Great Mother. She had even called out to her mother during her dying process. I rarely heard her speak of her mother during her life, as I think it was too painful for her. But in her death, it was as if she saw her and felt her, calling out to her, saying, "Mom." My mother reached a consciousness of openness in a very short time during her dying, really when I think of the time she spent in rage in her life and how identified she had become with it. She was able to open to letting go in grace. I was holding her hand and guiding her, and then she simply did not take another breath. There was no struggle or resistance. Her face appeared smooth and young-looking with a peaceful expression that surprised me. It was truly a miraculous and beautiful death. The time of her death was marked by a warm, golden, early morning sunlight filtering through the windows as the sounds of singing birds heralded a new day. Since she died on April 15th, which in America is tax day, I couldn't help but feel her wry sense of humor about the two sure things in life she would talk about. Death and taxes. She remained in her bed for three days at home. I would periodically go to her bedside and visit with her throughout those 3 days. My children, my daughters who you've met, were at home, and they were part of their grandmother's passing. At first, they were frightened, but when they saw that the face of death could be peaceful, they were able to be present with their sadness and grief and move through it. Nothing was hidden from them. Since I have been a midwife assistant at many births, I was used to feeling that sacred, precious energy of new life, and my mother's death, her birth into the next realm, felt exactly the same way as a birth into this life. I simultaneously felt sorrow and joy at her passing. My sorrow was not for her. She had passed quietly and gently. It was for me, feeling the absence of my mother. However, at the same time, I felt an indescribable joy because I was witness to a process of such undeniable exquisiteness, and I thought, who would ever believe me that death can be beautiful? I maintained the beauty field for her for 3 days, bringing in fresh flowers and candles, keeping her room like a temple. I showered her body with flower petals. Family members came to be with her and felt moved by the simple presence of what death can look like. No makeup job from a mortuary, no hiding her body from view, just death, simple, serene, and very present. In midwifing death in this way, I feel the gift I gave to my mother was the love of the mother. It is this love we are sorely lacking in our lives. In a gift-giving paradigm, I envision that everyone would be well-versed in what motherly love is and how to give it. Children would be raised in it and would therefore internalize it, growing into adults who would know how to give and receive love. Death would not be equated with violence and war, and women would be respected as the givers of life, the most precious gift indeed. In my work with the dying, I have been inspired to find a way to help mend the hoop of the circle of life, bringing death back into the circle as part of, rather than the cold, uncaring opposite of life as it is seen in patriarchal cosmology. This patriarchal opposition has created a dualistic split between life and death, good and evil, dark and light, female and male, right and wrong, etc., with a white male elite at the top of this dysfunctional dominating hierarchy, instilling the idea of the necessity to be God-fearing. In a mother love paradigm, God-fearing would be unheard of. This oppressive conditioning has devastating effects on who we are as sentient beings, as well as on our Mother Earth, as we all know too well. In order to find an understanding of how our ancestors dealt with death from an integrated life experience, my passion to find the truth about woman-centered cultures and our ways has brought me to a study of ancient pre-patriarchal cultures. A major key to this understanding is to know that in our ancient heritage, death was always associated with regeneration and never stood alone. As archaeologists and linguists, Maria Gimbutas has so eloquently shown in her comprehensive volumes, Language of the Goddess and Civilization of the Goddess. The death goddess was always the goddess of death and regeneration, from the Paleolithic through the Neolithic. Regeneration in the womb cauldron of the Great Mother gives us the vision of the wholeness of life, affirming the passage of death as necessary in order that the flow of life continue, like a river cascading over a mysterious edge, turning into a wondrous waterfall. This forgotten regenerative aspect of life through death, so revered and respected by our earliest ancestors and hidden from view in patriarchal religions, is indeed the mother's gift of life, of which we are all a part. It was women's sacred practice as priestess to serve as midwife to life and death, as the shamana, shamanka, or shamama, as I have now called it. The remaining great temples of Malta and the great womb tombs of Neolithic Europe are the ancestors' gifts to us of this primal wisdom. The elements of fear and denial currently existing in our supposed modern death practices can keep people bound to a morbid, life-denying, dissociated experience of both life and death. If we cannot see death for what it is, a passage from this life into the next realm of mystery that serves the spiral of life in completion of the great round of the goddess, then how can we see life for the complete and total gift of exquisite magnitude that it is? Can I have a couple minutes to finish? Okay. If we live in fear, how can we begin to know how to gift one another? Meeting death in the gift-giving paradigm means to wake up to our life and reclaim our healing ways. We are still feeling the effects of the women's holocaust of the Inquisition, which mostly go unnoticed and unspoken, except in places where we can all nod in agreement and dare to speak of our herstory, about what happened to our foremothers. And in the unspoken realms, we are deeply affected by the collective grief and loss women experience cross-culturally and have been for 5,000 years. Women's healing magic understands that life and death are one, moving in a seamless ebb and flow of creation. This magic knows the greater whole and that we are all connected through our breath and blood, gifts from the body of the Great Mother. Women's sacred cultural view of life and death is a nurturing one. It is not that there is an absence of pain and suffering in this view. It is, however, a life-sustaining cosmology, as woman bleeds life into form, suckling it at her breast and tending to it in death, guiding it on its way through endings to new beginnings, as if we are nurtured in life at one breast and nurtured in death at the other. In this view, patriarchal economics would not determine how well one is tended to and cared for in their passage. Love would be gifted and would be its own reward. Our early ancestors and sisters seem to enjoy a kind of ecstatic oneness with the mother. It is this ecstasy, I believe, to be the womb essence of women's true religion. Like our primal African mothers, whose rock art shows their celebration of life, let us dance together, sing, create, love, and share all our unique gifts through life and death. And the primal grandmothers will dance with us in celebration of our remembering. Thank you.